Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Sadi Aleph. But let's review. We did the Mishnah yesterday on Sadi Omid Beis. Let's just run over it quickly, because today's Gemara, of course, is going to be fully based on that Mishnah. So, kol ha-chata'ot she-batorah kodmot la-hashamot, chutz mi-hasham mitzorah, b'pnei shu ba'al hechsher. So usually we know that we look at the chata'ot as being more chashuv then the asham, and these are for, first of all, the chatas is mechaper on mechiyevei kores, whereas asham generally is brought even for lesser things, and the chatas, as we said before, is brought on the arba kranot, and it's brought on the yisod, mashenken the asham, which is shnayim shein arba, except for one particular case, and that is the asham mitzorah, because the asham mitzorah is coming to make it possible for this person to be able to eat kachim and so on. So there, it's very different than the normal asham. And the fact is that the mitzorah brings an asham that's different than other ashamas, because kol asham or shabbat rabba in b'nei shtayim. Normally, an asham is supposed to be 2 years, which, remember, means in the Torah in the second year. It doesn't mean 2 years old. Just like Ben Shana doesn't mean a year old, it means within its first year. And furthermore, when they are at that level of growth, that they're in their second year, they have to also be worth a certain amount on the market, which is a minimum of kesef shkalim, which is 2 shekel. But an Asham Nazir and an Asham Mitzora, both of them are actually coming not for chayit, and they're coming in order to be machshir the person, and therefore they are coming also very different in how we bring them. They are in their first year, and they don't have to be worth kesef shkalim. Kishem shekodmim ba'akravatan. Now, all of these different ways that we had in the past Mishnah is from the beginning of the parak, which was talking about whatever is tadir in terms of how often, I shouldn't say often, we'll see that's not really the case in the Gemara, but how frequently, which is different, as we're going to discover, how frequently they're brought. And then we had the level of Kedusha and the different levels of Kedusha, Ibn Ogea, the actual parts that are put on the Mizbeach, the different levels of Kedusha for what the Dam is coming for. And we also talked about the different types of animals that are being brought. And here we've introduced also the question of whether they are needed in order to be machshir someone. In any event, all of these different orders of priority also apply, which we haven't talked about until now. We've been talking about the shchita and the zrika and the emurim, or the basar, but here we want to talk about the achila. So moving on to the chiyuv of the achila, which sometimes, of course, a kachim kachim is, but after the achila of the bialim, the achila, when it comes to kachim kalim, could be anybody, kachim kachim is of the kayanim, and here kachim kalim could be just the baalim, but kishem shekodumim ba'akravatam kodumim ba'achilatan. So whatever would come first in terms of akrava is the first thing that you're supposed to also be eating, and it's a pegiyah in the covet of the kachim to let a korban that is more chashev to be left till the end while you eat some other carbon. So let's say another question that now, if that is the issue about the achila, there would also be precedence. We can talk about precedence in terms of what came first to the Beis HaMikdash that required your dealing with. But the truth is, there is also a precedence that simply comes from your presence. Now, we're going to see later on whether this Mishnah is talking about just being there, or the Mishnah is talking about having actually shechted these animals. We'll talk about that. But let's assume right now, as the Gemara assumes, we're talking about just being there. So you had a korban shlomi that had been presented in the Beis HaMikdash yesterday, and there was no time to get it done before the hakrav of the tamid shabein arbaim, which once that's brought, we don't bring other korbanos. And now today, it is waiting in line to be taken care of, and there is also shlomim that were just brought now this morning. Well, we go according to what was there first, so we'll take care of the one that was there yesterday. Shel emesh kodmim l'shel yom. But let's say you've got a question of something that came first versus the question of the chashivas of the carbon itself. Well, that's a machlokas. So let's say you had shlamim that were waiting in line, and that was yesterday's shlamim, and then you also have chataot v'asham, which of course are kachikachim, and they are there today. Which comes first? Says Rabbi Meir, well, even though kachim is more chomor, but nonetheless, it's insulting to the shlamim that was just sitting there not to bring it, whereas the chachamim say, no, what's more important always is the fact that something in itself is a greater level of kedusha, and therefore the chatas would come first, mipnei shehu kotche kotche. Anyway, now that we're talking about the issue of eating, which is some question we're going to see what we're referring to. Rashi holds over here that we're talking about the actual hakrava, and the question is which one would be mukrav even first. And the pashtus is that we're dogea over here, as we're going to talk about in the Gemara, make it a little bit clearer, that we're talking about which one is supposed to be eaten. But in any event, the Mishnah has switched to eating, as the next piece shows us. And Bikulan, when it comes to eating all of these various korbanas, HaKohanim, Reshaim, Leshanot Bachilatan, LaOchlan, Tzruyin, Shlukin, Mevushalim, the Kohanim can eat them any way they like. And if they want to eat it barbecued, or they want to eat it stewed, or simply boiled, and they can put in any type of spices that they want, the tetotocho tavle chulin, or according to Rabbi Shimon, even tavle shuma, divi Rabbi Shimon, as Rabbi Meir says, as we saw earlier in the Besechet, lo yitein letocho tavle truma. I agree with everything that you're saying, except the last piece. You cannot put tavle truma into kachin, because then, shol yavieta truma lidei pesuk. Because since the time for eating the kachim is more limited than the time for eating truma, which is unlimited, so then you're going to possibly be causing this truma to be burned, because, you know, if it becomes notar, then the truma is going to be usr. So now we have several laws of precedence, right? So we've got the idea of tadir, we've got the idea of mikudash, we've got the idea of which type of species it is, and we've got this idea of the precedence in terms of which one was there first. Those are all issues that we need to take into consideration. And the question is, we haven't talked about the precedence of one set over the precedence of the other set. So, I mean, let's say that I'm faced with one thing that is tadir and one thing that is mikudash. What about then? Which comes first, the tadir one or the mikudash thing? So tadir kodem, shall we say, okay, I mean, tadir we know was the first precedence that we were talking about was the one that's more frequent. Or we could say mikudash because the mikudash is more kodesh. Seems to be comparing apples and oranges. I mean, so how exactly would we compare the two? Tashma, well, the parak opened up with the statement that tmidim kodmuin lumusafim. So it says, the carbon tamid, which is tadir, will always come before the musaf, which is less tadir. But the musaf is certainly more kodesh, isn't it? I mean, the musaf is coming because it's the musaf of, let's say, Shabbos, right? So certainly things that are being brought for Shabbos are more choshev. So apparently the greater level of Kedusha due to the Shabbos is not a reason for us to be mocked in the Kedusha, and instead we're mocked in the Tadirut. So there you go. There's your answer. So it's not an answer at all, because the Musaf of Shabbos is more choshev because it's Shabbos, but why isn't the Karban Tumin of Shabbos more choshev because it's Shabbos? In other words, the idea of Shabbos is not simply something that's going to be reflected in the Musaf, why wouldn't it be reflected in all of the Avodas of Shabbos? So, Otu Shabbat Musafim Ahanoi Litmidim Lo Ahanoi. You're telling me that the Shabbos doesn't cast any kind of Kedusha over the Tmidim? Why would I think that? Okay, so let's take a look at the next piece of the Mishnah. The next piece says that the Shabbos Musafim, they come before the Rosh Chodesh Musaf. So if it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, so then we would bring the Shabbos first. Why? Because it's Tadir. But, I mean, isn't Rosh Chodesh also a moed? So doesn't that give it, like, a greater Kedusha? Says the Gemara, it's just as wrong as your first assumption was. If it's Rosh Chodesh, it's also Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, isn't it? So, Ot Rosh Chodesh l'musafim didei ahani, l'musafei Shabbat lo ahani? Why would the Rosh Chodesh only work for its own carbon and not actually add its own level of Kedusha to the Musaf Shabbos? In which case, we still have our original question of the Tadirut, because the level of Kedusha is going to be shared by whatever is being brought on that day. Well, what about the next piece? The next piece says, Musafei Rosh Chodesh are kodmim l'musafei Rosh Hashanah. Certainly Rosh Hashanah, which is Aser b'malacha and so on, I mean, certainly that's more chomor than the Rosh Chodesh, which even though it's called a moed, but, I mean, you know, in its very general sense, it's called a moed. I mean, it's, yes, we have a remez, karayalai moed, and we have it in mentioned in the Seder of the Moedim, but, I mean, l'maisa, it doesn't share any of those elements of the Moedim. Says the Gemara, the same answer. I mean, why would Rosh Hashanah only reflect its own level of Kedusha on its own Musafim? Wouldn't it be anything that's brought on this day? Now, as Tosis points out, obviously, I mean, we're not stupid to keep asking the same question and getting the same answer. And therefore, I mean, he doesn't give an answer, but he says, look, I mean, clearly you're going to have to work out why one is different than the other. And, you know, why would I think, even having explained the Shabbos and the Talmud, why would I have thought that I have a new question about Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos? And then why would I have thought that I have a yet another question of Rosh Hashanah and so on? So all of that, I mean, we could say svaras about all of this ourselves. I'm sure you see differences. I mean, the din of Shabbos and the Talmud is because both of them are dinim in the days of the week. So, I mean, that's easy to understand why I would think that Shabbos is a special day of the week, and therefore it relates to the whole cycle. When you're talking about the Rosh Chodesh, which is on a different level than both the days and the Shabbatot, so that already, I would think, would be a different level of Chura, because it's more shaykh to the Moedim. Then when we talk about the different Moedim, actually, it's clear that this is a fascinating thing. But remember that in Maaseh Bereishis, where it says that the sun and the moon are supposed to serve as Moedim, Yamim serves as Yamim, and it serves for Moedim. That almost means that those things are totally different, right? So the Yamim aspect is a sun-oriented issue, and the Moedim would be a moon-oriented issue, in which case the Rosh Chodeshim, being a moon orientation, would be separate than the elements that have to do with the sun, all the way back in Maaseh Bereishis, except for one very important nakuda, which is, of course, that the interrelationship of sun and moon is entirely a Rosh Chodesh issue. And that's why we need Rosh Chodesh in the parasha of the Moedim. I mean, everything else is all very nice, because we can make, once we've made our Rosh Chodesh, then we're koveya our Moedim. But the truth is that the relationship to the sun is very uniquely a Rosh Chodesh issue. So you understand why that would be a separate time than the Moedim Hashanah. But what about this? We've got another question over here, which has nothing to do with sun, moon, or days. It has to do with the sugya back in Brachos. What actually comes first? And remember, big machlokas over there that we had in between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is when you're making kiddush. Do you make the kiddush, the bracha, on the yayin first, like Beit Hillel says, or do you make the bracha on the yom first? Now, over there, this sugya of Tadirut was brought up, actually, in the Mishnah itself. So Beis Hillel was saying that one reason, an additional reason, why we should say the Birchas HaYayin before we say the Birchas HaYom, as we do, is because of our perek, Birkat HaYayin Tedira and Birkat HaYomina Tedira. Which one is more frequent? The Birkat HaYayin. I mean, that's the bracha that we make all the time. And this bracha of Yom HaShabbat is something that is not Tadir. And Tadir v'sheino Tadir, Tadir Kodem. Now, that was said even though Birkat HaYom is more Kodesh, because there too, I mean, the Birkat HaYom is a Shabbos bracha, special Shabbos bracha, and the Birkat HaYayin is not a special Shabbos bracha. So, you see that nonetheless, we are going to make the Birkat HaYayin. So apparently, Tadir comes above and beyond Kodesh. And here, we actually bring the same Svara about the Birkas HaYayin. Namely, if you're making a Birkas HaYayin on Shabbos, wouldn't the Birkas HaYayin of Shabbos be more choshev because of the fact that it's Shabbos? So if you're making this Birkas HaYayin as part of the Kiddush HaYom, then the Kiddush of Shabbos would actually be on both of them. And you have no right to compare only the Kiddush of Shabbos in the bracha of Mekadesh HaShabbos to the Kiddush of Shabbos in the bracha of the Yayin that's part of that Kiddush. So therefore, we're using the same Svara in a more abstract sense of Kodesh and Tadir b'nogei Zman. Okay, let's take a look. Maybe we could bring a raya from a Psak Halacha of Rabbi Yochanan, which we discussed earlier. Halacha mitpalel adam shel mincha v'achar kach shel musafim. If the time for mincha comes around before you were able to daven musaf, then you daven mincha first and only afterwards musaf. As we explained, the reason that we don't do this, even though we usually in many places we get to the time of mincha before we start musaf on Yom Kippur or on Rosh Hashanah, that's because in the case of a rabbim, we're afraid that people will get confused about what the normal Seder is and so on. So therefore, we go ahead and we do the norm. But if you're alone, you would do like Rabbi Yochanan says, and you would actually do mincha first. So l'chora, I lost my place over here. So you see that even though the musaf, again, it's the same logic, even though the musaf is a special tefillah, or Shabbos, or for Yom Kippur, whatever the day is, or to Shabbos, v'tfilas musafin ahanoi, v'tfilas mincha lo ahanoi, the tefillah of mincha on Shabbos is also more choshev because it's a mincha of Shabbos. And therefore, it's just as choshev with the additional kedusha of Shabbos as the musaf is. So it's, you can't use a raya here that the tedirut comes before the kedusha. They both have the same kedusha. Says the Gemara, well, you're overlooking our Mishnah. Our Mishnah seems to give you the answer. Our Mishnah says, Shlamim shel emesh. You have yesterday's Shlamim, and today the Chatas v'Asham was brought, and they're waiting in line. Which one comes first? It says over here, Shlamim are Kodmim. But what does that actually tell you? That if you would have both of the same day, then the halacha would be that Chatas v'Asham come first. Now, Shlamim are certainly more Tadir, aren't they? I mean, people bring Shlamim all the time. How often do people bring a Chatas and an Asham? So you see from there that even though something is Tadir, you go according to what is Kodesh. Omar Rav, excuse me. We have been talking about frequency. Frequency is not the same thing as commonness, is it? I mean, you're saying it's more common. It'll come up more often. It's matsui. But that doesn't mean it's of greater frequency. There's no frequency at all, actually, to a shlomim. You put an oscilloscope on a shlomim, you'll get a flat line. So because of that, the only case that we're worried about was where we're talking about tadir, the tadirut, and this is not tadirut. This is matsui. This is whatever is actually going to be more common, more prevalent than the other one. And I never asked that. Tadir kami bailan, matzilu kami bailan. We never wanted to know with the question of precedence due to something being more common. We wanted to know the question of something is a greater frequency versus Kedusha. Now, you haven't even begun to address that question by quoting me our Mishnah. Wait, you're saying that frequency is not the same in terms of Kedima as the commonness or the prevalence of something? I mean, a Braita seems to say not like that. The Braita says like this. So over there, we were talking about the question about with the special situation where you have the only two cases in Kol HaTorah Kula in which not doing a mitzvah asei is a chi of karis. And that is somebody who doesn't bring his karban pesach and somebody who doesn't do mila in his lifetime. So we learn from there that since we have the makkah that only the karban chatas is only brought for a mitzvah lo ta'aseh and not for an asei, and therefore there would be no chatas. But maybe we said that only would exclude somebody who was chai of kores, because normally chatas is brought for a chi of kores because of the carbon pesach, because the carbon pesach is not tadir. But if he actually ignored mila, which is actually tadir, then he should have to bring a chatas. Tadir? I mean, flatlining is just as much a mila issue as it is a shlomim issue. There's no frequency to mila. I mean, it happens very often because there's lots of births that are mechayev mila, but it certainly is nothing that is done frequently, one couldn't say. So you see that we're using the lashon right there in the Braita. We're using the lashon of tadir for mila. So how about that? So you see that I can bring a raya from commonality or prevalence exactly as I would bring a raya for frequency, no? No, no, no. When it says tadirav there, it doesn't mean that it's common. It means it's tadira in its mitzvot. What is that supposed to mean? So Rashi says tadira in its mitzvot means that there's 13 different britot that were said about brit milah, and therefore it has a greater frequency of mention and chashivas. It wasn't talking about the concept of tadir. It was just using a different word for saying that it's a more chashav mitzvah. Maybe therefore it would be mechayev a karban chatas. Now, that's a very strange kind of pirush for tadir. Many people don't understand what Rashi is trying to say, which I'll try to explain in a moment, the way that I see it. But anyway, the Arsa Meach brings an explanation in which tadira b'mitzvot means there's always the mitzvah not to have a foreskin. And therefore, that mitzvah, to be mahul, is actually tadir. Others learn, like a more chassidim, the Sfas Emes learns tadir b'mitzvahs would mean, like we saw in the story of David HaMelech, that he was always happy when he had no other mitzvahs to do. He realized, but I am a nimol, and that means that it's always something that is a schus for the person. He's always, in a sense, being oisik in that mitzvah of mila. That would be the meaning. But okay, it's similar to the Or Sameach, different elements of it. And the truth is, I believe that Rashi is incorporating those ideas, because the question of the Yud Gimel Britot, everybody thinks that's just, you know, okay, it's choshev that we should be mazkir 13 times Britot, but Britot are not just the number of times that you're mazkir. If there's Yud Gimel Britot, it means that there's 13 different elements that are going to come up in terms of your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are going to be defined by the elements of mila, so that it stretches over 13 different dinyanim, and obviously 13 is an important lashon when it comes to the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he's not saying something that is all that weird. It's not just the chashivas in the mitzvah, it's indeed its constant activation and its constant presence. So it could mean any of them, but it would still be a getter of frequency. Or, you know what? Maybe you could say that something that is so common that it's always, for all intents and purposes, that when you compare it relative to something that will come up once a year, like a Korban Pesach, that is actually called a tedirut. Even though you're right, technically speaking, it's not a frequency, but its continuous presence means that it's not no gaya frequency, because the frequency, so to speak, is so high that you have a wave in every tenth of a second. So that is, therefore, giving you a flat line of constant mila. In that case, it's the ultimate frequency, so to speak. And therefore, compared to Korban Pesach, it is the equivalent of Todir, because it is so common that it might as well be Todir. Ibailo. Okay. How about another question? What would happen if you started doing the Eino Tadir first? So you had a Tadir Visha Eino Tadir, and you went ahead and you shechted the thing that was not Tadir, and now you've got the other carbon to shecht. What do we do? Do we stop in the middle and we say, okay, I don't know, what are we going to do with the dom? Give the dom to somebody to, we'll make sure that it's not going to coagulate so that he'll stir it. And let's run to the other carbon and do the other carbon, which is Tadir first. Or do we say, once we start the carbon, we don't stop in order to give precedence? So, mi amrinan kiven de shachte, once you already did the shchita, you should be makarvit, odilma. Or maybe even in these circumstances where we have the dom, and it's certainly not very good for the dom to be out there, and it's also not a covet for the carbon. Nonetheless, it's more important to take care of the tedirut, give it to another kohen to be memaris bedomo, so he'll stir it to make sure it doesn't coagulate. Ad demakrev leila tadir, and then you go back and you're makrev the eino tadir. Omer avuna misura tashma. Well, I think that we should look at it as follows. You're asking, basically, whether we would even say that we should do something that sets aside a carbon, which is an sort of like an act of insult, in order to go to the other one. Is that the chashivas of Tadir Ad Kedei Kach, or is the chashivas of being involved in the carbon more important? Says Rav Huna Misura, well, take a look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah was talking about a case of having shlomim waiting to be done, and you have chatas va'asham of today waiting to be done. And we said yesterday shlomim comes before even the additional level of kedusha of the chatas va'asham. So that means that, I think it means that if it was shechted today before the chatas va'asham, so then you finish doing the dam of the shlamim before you shech the chatas va'asham. And that's only true b'nogeya the shlamim that had been brought there before. But what about if the shlamim had been brought there this morning? And we're not talking about Tadir here. I understand we're talking about Makudish, but it's the same idea. The question is whether the dinim of precedence take place even if, by following the precedence, we're going to be causing a delay in a carbon that we already started doing the work on, right? So it should be the same thing if we're talking about Kadosh, we're talking about Makudish, we're talking about Tadir. It's basically the same question. So I feel justified in bringing a raya here from our Mishnah's Mikudash. Okay, and I'm also making an assumption, which that is not the assumption we made before. I'm assuming that the Mishnah is referring to a case that you brought a shlamim on one day, they didn't have time to do it, and today, even though there was a chatas and an ashram waiting to be done, you went ahead and shechted the shlamim, and it says over here that we should bring the shlamim first because we already shechted it. Okay, but that's because it was brought there yesterday and it's been hanging around. But that implies that if it was a shlamim that was brought today, what if it would be today and similar to yesterday? So what would that mean? The original way, let's go over this again. So I didn't present it properly. The original way we were learning our Mishnah was that we had a shlamim that wasn't shechted. It was brought to the Beis HaMikdash. It's standing now waiting to be shechted. And the question is, what do we do first? So if I shechted it, I'm assuming that what it means is that if today I went ahead and I shechted it before the Chatas of the Asham, that I should nonetheless go ahead and let it come before the Chatas of the Asham. But that's only because why? It was there from yesterday. That's the only case that we're saying this. What if it wouldn't have been left there yesterday? What if it's today's shlamim? And it's in the same case where I shechted the shlamim before, which I wasn't supposed to do, because the shlamim is actually supposed to wait until I bring the chatas va'asham, which is mekudash. So what I did over here is because I was kadim shechted the shlamim, I would nonetheless, what would I do? I would actually say, excuse me, but I'm going to have to take care of the Chatas and the Asham, because you didn't come here yesterday, you came here today, and you're not as important. And even though it's the same case, I shechted you first, I'm going to have to set aside your dam and take the shechita of the Chatas and the Asham, right? I mean, so the Mishnah is clearly saying, if I don't have the additional precedence of the fact that this was there first, that I would still go stop in the middle, that's the implication, and I would go in and I would take the chatas and the asham. Well, maybe that's not what it's talking about. Maybe it's talking about that both of them were shechted. I mean, you're assuming that I started wrong, meaning that I shechted the shlamim, and now I should finish the shlamim. But maybe the implication is that the shlamim that was here from yesterday and the chatas v'asham that was here today, the case in the Mishnah is that yesterday shlamim come first. That's where I had also shechted the chatas of the asham. So now, one way or the other, I'm going to have to set aside the dam of one of these karbonas. Okay? So now you're telling me, if you're going to have to set aside the dam of one of these karbonas, so if the shlamim had been waiting since yesterday, set aside the chatas v'asham. But if the shlamim was the same as yesterday, so then, in Ochinami, we would do the Chatas V'Asham first. But let's say if you didn't yet shecht it, it could be that your question is still a very important question. If you had only shechted the Shlomim, and the Shlomim had been brought today along with the Chatas V'Asham, your question was, if I started doing the Shlomim, should I stop? And now have somebody stir the dam of the shlamim, which is very insulting. I mean, that's like worse than just not doing it, right? So I'm going to stop, do the chatas v'asham, or do I say, once you started, finish? Well, there'd be no indication from this Mishnah at all about what that case was, because I don't know what the case in the Mishnah is. I don't know whether the case is you shechted both the shlamim and the chatas v'asham, or you only shechted the shlamim. All right, fine. Let's take a look at a braita, see if we could bring a raya from the following braita. Let's see. Remember, we just had the idea of the yayin and the birchas hayom. So it says in the braita, following the other svaras that were in the mishnah with the machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, that another reason for me to say that the Birchas HaYayin comes before the Birchas HaYom is because the Birchas HaYom is Tadira, the Birchas HaYayin is Tadira, and the Birchas HaYom is not Tadira, and Tadir V'She'ino Tadir, Tadir Kedem, and that is similar, I think, to the case that you're talking about. Because remember the other thing that we were talking in the Mishnah, this is the bright, but the case, the Machlokas in the Mishnah had to do with Shekvar Kidesh Yayom. So first the Yom was Kadesh, and then the Yayin was brought. So when the Shabbos comes, the Yayin was still not ready, and that would mean that you were first, similar to our case, right? Where you have something that was there from before. Okay, so now you had, in this case, the chiyuv of the yom came first. And nonetheless, we went ahead and we gave the chiyuv Hayayin, which we said is more tardier. So now that would mean that in this case, we would do exactly the same thing. So why would we not be able to bring a raya from there that we go according to the one that is tardier? No. Because by the time your question comes up, what's your question? You're about to make Kiddush. If you're about to make Kiddush, it means you have wine here and you have the day here. So then that's going to be similar to the case that I just told you. If you shechted both the shlomim that was here, and you also shechted the chatas va'asham, that was a different case, we said. So there, kemanda shechita tarvayo dami, if they're both shechted, then no matter what you do, you're going to be asking a kohen to be mamaris b'dam. So that's similar to the case that I just showed you. You can't bring a raya. We always said that for sure, if they were both shechted, so we would do the tadir. Over here, it's the same thing. They were both shechted, so to speak. The day and the wine were both shechted. They're both here, and they're both ready to be used. What do we do? Tashma. And Yom Rav Yochanan, how about our old point? Halacha mitpalel adam shal mincha, v'achar kach shal musafim. You first daven, that's something that was started before, and then you would go and you do the musaf. Okay, so then that means that the chiyav that came first, that was the musaf. Nonetheless, I'm not going to do that musaf. I'm going to say, when Chaza goes up there and he starts davening musaf, I'm going to say, hey, wait a minute, we have to do mincha. So it's the same thing over here. And the Kohen's going to go up there and say, well, this was here from before. I don't care. This one is right now more tadir. In our case, it was more kodesh. You're talking about in a case where it's more tadir. So it's the same thing as here. We are going to do the more tadir first, even though we tell the Chazan to stop his musaf. Same thing as here. We'll go and we'll say, excuse me, sir, you're going to have to wait till we take care of something that is there more tadir. No, because, look, right now, if it's already time for mincha, and it was time for musaf, basically that's the equivalent of shechting both the shlamim and the korban chatas or the korban asham. And there we said there was never a question if they're both shechted. So then, of course, we're going to be doing the one that is more tadir. In the case we had, it was the one that was more b'kodesh. So we still don't have a raya. Look, I'll bring you a raya from the dinim of a korban Pesach, Tashma. Shechato kodem chatzot. So actually, this is the Mishnah. So this Mishnah Psachim says that if you shechted the korban Pesach before chatzos hayom, so then it's possible, because the Torah was makbid dafka shechtu oto beina arbayim. It's not yet been arbayim. But suppose you shechted it before the tamid shall ben arbayim. What should you do? So the halacha is that since the tamid shall ben arbayim, it says ben arbayim, but by korban Pesach, it says not only ben arbayim, it says ba'erev. So from there we learn that something that says both Bein Arbaim and Ba'erev should come after something that says Bein Arbaim Bilvad. So that means that after we shecht, this is very uncharacteristic, because generally, after we do the Shechita Bein Arbaim, we don't bring other korbanas. But by the korban Pesach, what we do is dafka shechted after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim. So suppose you went ahead and you shechted it after Chatzos, but before the Tamid, it's kosher, but look at this, the Mishnah says. Somebody should be b'mares b'damai achi yisra kadam. But you don't finish bringing that korban Pesach. Instead, you have a kohen who is going to stir the dam, since it was supposed to come later, and then you bring the tamid shel ben arbayim, which was supposed to come first. So this is exactly the case, no? So you see from here, that will go back, even if we're in the middle of bringing the korban, like here, the korban Pesach, we'll go back, we'll do the korban tamid, because it was the one that was supposed to be brought, and then we'll come back and finish the Korban Pesach. No. Ach, b'mayaskina, no, the case could be over here. Could go into Kodim Shachter L'Tamid Bereisha. You didn't ask. You went ahead and you shechted the Tamid before you did the Zrika. Now you want to know, okay, which Zrika do I do? Over there, there's no question. This is the case where we said if both of them were shechted, of course you do the one that is supposed to be brought first. So since over here I have both the Dam of the Tamid and the Dam of the Pesach, maybe that's what it's talking about. And we already said before a number of times that if they're both in the same situation, of course we're going to do whatever was Tadir or whatever was Makudish, or in this case, whatever the Zman that the Torah gave was supposed to come first. Omele Ravacha Saba Ravashi. Yes, I know you think that this is draining a cup, and that's not what the Mishnah means. That's precisely what the Mishnah means, and I'll prove it to you. If you're medayik in that Mishnah in Pesachim, take a look at what it says. It says that somebody should be stirring the dam, ad sheyizrok kadam. Well, what does that mean? Ad sheyizrok kadam. What dam? It should say ad sheyishchot. No, you didn't shecht yet. So it should say, even though you didn't shecht the Korban Tamid, somebody should be memareis bedam ad sheyishchot v'yizrok, and then go back and do the zrika of the dam of the Pesach. I mean, you know, this is a major part, needing to do the shechita still of the Tamid. You completely ignore that, and you say, no, okay, just do the merisa in order to avoid coagulation until you finish the zrika. Well, why only say the zrika? You should say, Achi Yishchot V'Yizrok. Shema Aminah, you see, very reasonable to say that the Mishnah in Pesachim was indeed talking about a case where the Tamid had been shechted. So someone went and shechted the Korban Pesach. Meanwhile, somebody shechts the Korban Tamid. Now we've got these two damim that need to be taken care of. That's what we're talking about. So apparently, that would be the only case. Since that's the diuk, that this is a fascinating question. Have we come up with an answer or not? So you think that the Gemara is saying, no, we didn't come up with an answer because you can't bring a raya from there. But Lamaisa, the Rambam learns that that is the answer. That since we're medayik now from the Mishnah, that the Mishnah specifically said, when would you be memaris bedam? Only if you're going to be memaris the dam till you do the zrika of the dam of the tummy. What does that show you? That if you would have had to be stopping the Avodah of the Pesach in order to do the Shechita, you would not. Why not? The correct time is to do it after the Tamid. So you see from there that if you started doing an Avodah and the correct time comes up to do something else, you do not stop. And you actually complete the Avodah, which is how the Rambam paskens in Tmidim u'Musafim. Gufa based on this Gemara, according to the Mefarshei Rambam. So that means we've actually answered our question, even though a casual reading of the Gemara implies we haven't answered it. And then the last piece of the Mishnah was, can you use truma ketchup on your barbecue, if the barbecue is kadesh? So b'kulan kohanim rishayim, it doesn't matter what it is you do, and how it is that you cook it. Now, I mean, there are more effective ways of dealing with meat and less effective ways of dealing with meat. I mean, for God's sake, if you bring one of these American-style barbecues to Joburg, they'll probably hang you. What are you eating, meat that's been burned to a crisp? Where's the blood, for heaven's sake? So how come, if that's the case, that you can do whatever you want with it? Amar Kra Lemashcha. The Torah says, Ani Nasati Dafka, I'm giving here when I'm giving, this is in Kairach, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bet Dafka, pointing out the Chashivas of Aaron, Nasati Lechat Bishmeret Shumotai Lechol Kotche Ben Yisrael, Lechone Tatim Lemashcha. What's the Lemashcha? Lemashcha means like Mishicha. Mishicha is like a king. To be like a king, like a gedula, kederach shamalachim ochlim, and that means you eat as if you're the king. The way that you want to eat it, you eat it, and therefore it doesn't matter if this is what I find delicious. Then this is what I do. And now, moving on? Nah. We've got... We've got our riches. Oh, man, you have to watch the conductor. Try that Mishnah. Omar Rabbi Shimon. Imra ita Shemen, shumit chalek ba'azara, ain't tzarech lish'ol ma'u. For now, we seem to be talking about a question of what we do when we bring a mincha of oil. Now, we discussed before this question about being menadev yayin or bringing oil. Remember that strange halacha that you do kmitza. And in fact, here we actually get to the Mishnah that discusses that, even though it's fundamentally a issue in Menachos, but we want to know, we've been talking about what the Kohanim get to eat. So, as Rabbi Shimon pointed out, if you see that the Kohanim are being given shemen, so they're being given this very delicious olive oil, and you want to know, hey, how come we're giving out oil today? Well, you don't need to ask. Ain't tzarech lishol ma'u, there's only one type of oil that is going to be given out in the Azara. And that would be, well, actually two, but you don't have to ask. It's definitely shiraim. It's either the motari kikei minchot Yisrael. So remember, there's different types of minochas. And in the ma'afei tanur category, there's different types of ma'afei tanur. So there's chalot and there's rikikin. And the rikikin actually were the shemen, instead of being mixed all of it into the flour, into the soda, was used for meshicha. Meshicha is, remember, you put an X on it. So it's the chi yivanit. So we put an X on it, which is, that of course is the unfortunate Xmas idea as well, which is the king, you know. Sure as hell ain't no king for me, but in any event, it's supposed to show a getter of malchus, right? So that means there's going to be a lot of oil that's left over after you only do meshicha, and you don't mix the oil in, and therefore that's going to be leftovers. So if you've got rikikei of a minchas ma'afei tanur, there'll be leftover oil. And what do you do with that leftover oil? You give it to the kohanim, like other shiari mincha. Or it could be the luk shemen shel mitzora. So remember that we do the, after we do the dam, we also take a luk shemen, and we do hazoya sheva pamim towards the kadesh, towards the heichal, and then we put it onto the body of the mitzora himself, but only onto the ozno yimanit, and bon yador, and bon raglo yimanit. And then we've got leftover oil. That leftover oil is also given to Kohanim. So that is the Shirayim. So if there's oil being given out, it's clearly Shirayim. Now, on the other hand, if you see oil which is being poured onto the Mizbeach, you also don't need to ask, hey, how come we're pouring oil onto the Mizbeach? Because that would be leftover oil from a minchas kohen ma'afei tanur rikikin. The same idea, except that remember the rule. A minchas kohen kalil tiyeh. It doesn't have shirayim. So minchas kohen is entirely put on the mizbeah. So this must be that oil that was left over. And the same thing would happen of the chavitim, which is the minchas kohen mashiach. Now, why would the chavitim have oil left over? Because it actually had a much greater amount of oil than the normal. It had shlosha lugin for asiris ha'efa. So then that means you've got an awful lot of additional oil. And if that's the case, it's much more than the normal lug for an eifa. And so what are we going to do with it? We put it onto Mizbeach because it belongs to the Kohen. So if it's a mincha of the regular Kohanim, or if it's a mincha of the Kohen Gadol because of the Chavitim every day, For sure, there's going to be leftover oil. That's the oil that you see being burned on the Mizbeah. But it can't be anything else. No? No. Because you cannot be menadev just pure oil. So therefore, if the oil's being given out, it cannot be a nedava. And if it's being burned, it cannot be a nedava. And there's only the possibilities that we mentioned. Rabbi Tarfon says, why not? You can be menadev oil, menadvim shemen. So, Shmuel explains that that is weird, because if you're menadev oil, so how do you actually, what do you do to be matrit for the Mizbeach? Well, you do the same thing you would do with every minchas, Shmuel. According to Rabbi Tarfon, he says menadvim shemen, then you know what we do with it? We would do kmitza. Meats and oil, absolutely. And we would then give the rest of it to the Kohanim to eat. My timer. Because the marker for bringing oil is from the pasuk of Korban Mincha. So Korban Mincha means, what do we have to say Korban? All along we said Mincha. Nefesh ki takriv. Just say Nefesh ki takriv Mincha. So if it is Nefesh ki takriv Korban Mincha, that includes an additional Korban not mentioned here, Melamed, Shemiz Nadrim Shemen. And since we're learning it from the word Mincha, it has to be like a Mincha. Ki Mincha, ma Mincha kum tzavish yara nechalim, nechalim av Shemen kum tzavish yara av nechalim. So we do the same thing we would do to the Mincha for it. Omar Rabbi Zera, yep. We could see that from our Mishnah. It said in the Mishnah, Omar Rabbi Shimon, Im ra'ita shemesh mitchalek ba'azara, there's no question what it is, because yata tzarek l'shomahu, it could either be motar kiki minchas Yisrael, or it could be luk shemesh mitzara, but it could only be shirai, because it cannot be an actual nedava of shemen. Which would mean that according to the one who says, Rabbi Tarfon, that you are menadvim shemen, the klal demandi amar menadvim, he would actually give the rest of it to the Kohanim. Because Rabbi Shimon's saying, the only reason you don't have to worry that the Kohanim are getting these things because they're not shirayim, they're natural mincha, is because there is no such mincha. But according to Rabbi Tarfon, who says that there is such a mincha, namely pure oil, then you'd have to find out, hey, what are you eating, Mr. Cohen? Are you eating the shirayim of the luk shemen? Are you eating the shirayim of the mincha mafei tanur of Yisrael? But you don't have to, according to him, you'd have to ask, or are you eating not the shirayim in the sense of the, where that's the only thing we're talking about, where you're eating the actual main mincha that was meant to be given to the Kohanim. So you see, and he's right. Omale Abaya, well, maybe the first part of the Mishnah's Mashmi is right, but the second part of the Mishnah's Mashmi, he's wrong. Take a look at the Seifa. Im ra'ita shemen shenitana gabi ha'ishim. Here it says, if we're putting oil on the Mizbeach itself and burning it, that there's no question what that is. That's got to be a Kohen's motar kiki minchas Kohanim, or it would be the motar of the mincha of the Chavitim, the minchas Kohen Mashiach, but it can't be the motar of Stam, a matana, because the Kohen can't be menadev shemen either, because you're not menadev shemen. But mashma, according to the Mandi Amar, who says you are menadev shemen, so then you would put everything on the Mizbeah, and it would be burned, and it would not be eaten. So that's mashma, that we would not give it out to the Kohanim. So la baya kasha resha, la Rabbi Zera kasha seifa. So according to Rabbi Zera, it's not really a problem, because we could say the resha was talking about, it's mashma in the resha, that the if you went ahead and you were menadev shemen, would be given out to the Kohanim? Well, obviously, there's parts that are being given out. The Resha is talking about the Shirayim. The Seifa, remember, works out very well because it could be talking about the Kometz, and certainly the Kometz has to be put on the Mizbeach. But according to Abaye, he says, I mean, the Resha is definitely saying that part of it is going to be given to the Kohanim, And Abaye said, no, we're not going to give anything to the Kohanim. Well, we'd have to answer it by saying, Ein Achinami, and the first part is not really nogea, the closing words of the Mishnah. We use the Lashon of Ein Atzrich Lishol just to keep the Mishnah clear. But the truth is, even if the Shemet could be a Matana, we wouldn't give any of it to the Kohanim. That would be the way that he would have to explain it. So it just said that Lashon because of the Sefer. I never heard of such a thing. I mean, I understand that we would say the end of a Mishnah to match the beginning of the Mishnah. I never heard of that. We'd say the beginning of the Mishnah in a weird way because the end of the Mishnah is said in a particular correct way, so we try to match it? Absolutely. Amri b'marova, they say in Eretz Yisrael, we definitely would take into consideration the structure of a Mishnah to the point where the Reisha would have been structured to match the Sefer, certainly. Okay, so let me see. I've got a Braita that seems to show that Shmuel is wrong, because the Braita says, Tashma, if you hold of Rabbi Akiva, remember Rabbi Akiva's Shita is that you could be Menadev Yayin. So Yayin, what do we do with that Yayin? So Yayin, if you hold of Rabbi Akiva, that Yayin goes to the Sefalim, into the beautiful bowls, the silver bowls, and that went down from there into down into the ground, and that was basically what you would do with it. And what about Shemen, which according to Rabbi Tarfon you can also bring? Shemen, according to Rabbi Tarfon, would be put onto the Ishim. Now, I mean, when it's talking about Yayin, it's not a part of the Yayin. It's the whole Yayin was put into the Sefalim like the Nesachim. So then Shemen, if we're presenting it over here as a parallel to this, the Yayin of Rabbi Akiva, the parallel Shemen of Rabbi Tarfon would also be entirely Le'ishim. And that seems to be the opposite of Shmuel. Shmuel said we would only take a comment of it. And otherwise, I mean, here it says the whole thing is burned. So Shemen Kulo Le'ishim. So means no comments. Excuse me? Mide Aire? Who's to say? I understand. We're just saying, what do we do with the part that's on the Mizbeach? I don't get you. That's a riot. Hakarit. In the case of the wine is one din. In the case of the oil is another din. Why should they be the same? The truth is, says the Gemara, that Shmuel's halacha seems to be a machlokas tanoim. Because the Mishnah Menachah says, if you made a neder to bring shemen, you'd have to bring a luk shemen. Not less than a lug. Whereas Rebbe says, no, you'd have to bring three lugins. So now, what is the machlokas? The Maikama Fugate. So the Rabbanan suggested to Rav Papa that the machlokas is whether don mino mina or don mina v'uki batrai ikabina. You'll remember this very important Gabi rule. When we're learning something out, we're learning A out of X. Do we apply all of the dinim of X to A? Or do we just take the unique thing that we just derived from X, but now we put it into the context of A? So do we say, don mina umina? You learned it from X, stick to X. Or do we say, don mina vuki batra? You might have learned this particular subdin from X, but the main context remains A. That's true over here as well. So the Rabbanan, they hold don mina umina. So they say, okay, we learn it out from the mincha, right? Korban mincha. So just like the mincha can be brought as an adava, the shemen can be brought as an adava. Now, umina, let's learn all of the protodinim from mincha too. Just like the normal shear of the mincha is a luk shemen, so over here it has to be a luk shemen. So that follows. But then if that's the case, it would also follow that just like a mincha, you have to take a kometz, which is exactly what Shmuel says. You take a kometz and the rest is nechal. The same thing would be true about shemen. You would take a kometz and the rest is nechal. Mashein came the other Tana Rebbe. He says, yes, we learn it from the mincha. Just like the mincha is brought as an adava, shemen is brought as an adava. But we don't learn out how to deal with it. You have to put it into its context. What's its normal context? It's Nisachim. It's not a mincha. So what's the din of Nisachim? So just like Nesachim, what's the minimum of Nesachim? The minimum of Nesachim is always, when brought with the korban, is shloshes lugin. So shemen is also shlosh lugin. But if that's what Rebbe holds, then he would also hold that just like Nesachim are poured out completely, shemen also would go out completely onto the Isham is bad, but would not get a kmitza. So apparently that is gufa, the machlokas that we have over here, whether we actually do kmitza or we don't do kmitza. So it's a machlokas tanoin. No, I disagree. You're taking for granted that it's learnt out from korban mincha. If that were the place that it's being learned from, and Rebbe was learning it from mincha, so he would agree, don mina umina, we'd only bring lug echad, and we'd do kmitza. The machlokas over here, whether we learn it out from korban mincha, or we learn it out from the extra pasuk of the Nesachim, which is kol ha-ezrach. And ezrach means, what do I have to say that? It adds, whoever wants to donate can donate, but then it's found in the parsha of the Nesachim. It's not found in the parsha of Mincha. And therefore, it has nothing to do with whether we're going to learn out kmitza from the Mincha at all. How can you say such a thing? You can't tell me that Rebbe learns it out from the pasuk of Ezrach. The Braita says beferish that Rebbe learns it out from Korban Mincha. The Atanya. Korban Mincha. Why does it have to say Korban Mincha? That's to tell me the extra word korban is to tell me that you're menadvim shemen if you want. And how much shemen? Shlosha lugin. Now, who's the one who said shlosha lugin? That was Rebbe. And where is he bringing the raya that you can bring shlosha lugin? From the pasuk of Mincha. So don't tell me that Rebbe learns it out from the pasuk of Ezrach. It's simply not true. All right. I mean, Tanya, look, if the Braita says so, I'm going to argue. I mean, I was only making a suggestion. Hold your horses, man. Anyway, now let's take a look at the Yayin. Well, Mashmuel, the truth is that if you're menadev Yayin, you know what you do with the Yayin? You pour it onto the fire of the Mizbeach. Maybe, umizalfar gabeha ishim. So you bring it, you don't pour it in like the Nesachim that are brought together with a carbon, but rather you put it on the Ishim. Because why is this? Because it says beferish that there's such a thing as a Yayin, which is a carbon Ishim. Omar Kro, the Yayin takriv lanesach chatziahin ishei reach micholach l'Hashem. So apparently, there is, in fact, such a thing as yayin that is put onto the Mizbeach. What? But if you put yayin onto the Mizbeach, you're putting out the fire of the Mizbeach. And that's an Isser D'Oraisa. Eish tamid lo tichbeh. What's going on over here? Vokom echabe. Well, putting out a little bit, I mean, you just sprinkle the wine on it, you know. I mean, that's not called kibui. Kibui b'miksas is not called putting out the fire on the Mizbeach. Oh, really? Any? What about Amr of Nachman, Amr Rabba Baravua, Hamorid Gachelat Mi Algabe, Amizbeach, Vikiba, Chayav? If you take off one coal from the Mizbeach and you pour water on it, you would be Chayav on the lav of Lotichbe? That's not the whole fire, that's one coal. So you see that the Isser of Lotichbe is on any amount. Well, Amr Nachman might be talking about where that's all that there was. Maybe all that was left of the fire was that one coal, the Lek Elahai. Or, you know what, okay, maybe the point over here is that since the Yayin is a mitzvah, so therefore we don't look at the problem of this kind of kibui. This is how to bring it. The Torah said to bring wine on the Ishim. So that's not called kibui. That's the point. So if it's for a mitzvah, then we don't look at it as kibui. Then we look at it as burning on the Mizbeach. Tashma. Well, I'll bring a raya that you're not allowed to do kibui, even if it's for a mitzvah. The Tana Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, look, kapesh natna Torah litron, Look, I mean, because of the fact that the Torah says you're supposed to go ahead and take the ashes off of the Mizbeach, so you might think that, well, you know, if the ashes are still burning, you know, I should still go ahead and take them, and even though it's going to put them out, put them in my little shovel, you know, and do the Trumas Hadashah. No, no, that's why the Torah said Lo Tichbeh. So that means you cannot put them out even for a mitzvah. Okay, I mean, obviously there's a difference. Did the Torah say you have to put it out? The Torah said take the ashes off. So what's your problem? You don't have ashes, so wait another 5 minutes and you have ashes. But if the Torah says to pour the wine on the Mizbeach, tell me something. What am I supposed to wait for? For the wine to turn into kerosene? I mean, I have no choice. I'm going to have to sprinkle it. And at that point, whatever little bit of kibbutz is done, that was the mitzvah. You can't bring me a rye from over here. There, shani asimav shediyati v'natar. You could just wait for it to be ready. Well, what about the braita that says the opposite of what Shmuel just said? We just learned Tashma, according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that you're allowed to be menadev yayin, pour the whole thing out into the sefalim. What's Shmuel talking about? He says, put it on the fire, and Shemen Kedivir Rabbi Tarfon goes to the Ishim. So, I mean, how's Shmuel arguing on Rabbi Akiva over here? I don't understand it on the Braita. The Otanya, yayin in the Nesach, the wine that is brought from the Sochim, is dafka put into the sefalim. You might think like Shmuel that it's put on the Mizbeach, or ena ela le'ishim. Therefore, amet lo, it should say lo tichbeh. It should not be put out. So it's beferish, not like Shmuel. I don't understand. I mean, I'm assuming that that means, you know, the yayin that, I mean, doesn't say beferish, but I'm assuming it means the yayin that you gave as a nedava also. No, not necessarily. Maybe we're talking about over here, the braisa that says that you put it not onto the Ishim is going al libet Rabbi Yehuda, whereas Shmuel is going al libet Rabbi Shimon. Remember, the big machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is about the din of a dover she'eno mitkaven. So therefore, since over here all I want to do is sprinkle the wine to be mekayim the mitzvahs. You're saying, okay, but you might put out the mizbeach, the fire of the mizbeach. Okay, that's an eno miskaven. So because of that, it would be mutter. But if you hold, like Rabbi Yehuda, that even an eno miskaven is usser, so then it would say you're not allowed to put it on the mizbeach. Fine, maybe that's the point. And Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel himself, would hold like Rabbi Shimon. What do you mean? Shmuel does not hold of Rabbi Shimon. What are you telling me holds of Rabbi Shimon? Take a look at this halacha in Hilchos Shabbos. Omar Shmuel, mechabim gachelet shamatechet b'rishut harabim b'shvil shelo yizoku b'rabim. Suppose you've got this burning ember of molten metal, right? And somebody may walk along, I mean, some kid may walk along and, good heavens, will suffer a terrible burn. It's sitting there in Rishus Rabim on Shabbos. I should put it out, says Shmuel, even though it's Shabbos, in order that nobody should be hurt by it. How can I do during the D'oraisa? I mean, how can I put it out? I should just have to stay there and put up a shomrim and make sure that it... But I cannot do the same thing to a gachelet shel eitz. So the idea over here of putting it out is because when it comes to putting out a gachelet of matechet, that is not the iser d'oraisa because it isn't really burning. It's just very hot. And therefore, it's only osur mid-rabbanan. And if people are going to be hurt, rabbanan weren't gozer. But if Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon, then what would be putting this out? You're right. It's putting it out mid-oraisa. But it's a davar she'eino tzricha l'gufa. I don't need to put it out because I'm interested in getting charcoal. I'm putting it out because I don't want a fire there. That's not the issur in the Torah, according to Rabbi Shimon. So apparently Shmuel holds that the din is not like Rabbi Shimon. And here you're telling me that Shmuel, who said mizalfim ala esh, is like Rabbi Shimon because it's a davar she'eino miskaven. Excuse me. What do you think? Because I hold one thing of Rabbi Shimon, I have to hold everything of Rabbi Shimon. We have two different machlokas in here. One is a machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda about a dover sheino miskaven. So when it comes to dover sheino miskaven, Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon that it's mutter. Then we have another machlokas, and that's a machlokas of malacha she'ena tzricha gufa. So you're telling me, according to Rabbi Shimon, I should be able to put out a fire, even if it's a fire, a real fire on wood, because after all, it's only drabana because I don't need the charcoal. And to put out a fire in order for there not to be a fire is a dover that is in a tzricha legufa of the malacha. But for that, he actually holds like Rabbi Yehuda. It's two different things. Don't bring a riot from one to the other. So, b'davar she'eno mitkaven, eino chinami, Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon that it's mutter. And therefore, you can sprinkle the wine on the mizbeach, even though it might actually put something out. But b'malachish and tzricha l'gufa, in this case, where you have a burning piece of wood on Shabbos, and you want to put it out so that kids don't get burned, there he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. You don't have a right to put it out. You'll have to sit there and watch it. Omar, you don't mind that we get to the bottom, do you? I mean, after all, it's the end of a parak, and Richie's been waiting, and, I mean, it's not that terribly late. So I hope you don't mind. Can I go ahead till the end? We wouldn't want to disappoint Richie.
It's Sunday, Rabbi. You, of course, Rabbi can go in.
Oh, it's Sunday. Oh, I forgot that there are people for whom Sunday is the Holy Sabbath. I'm sorry. What a different world, baby. So, Omer Ravuna. Let's say you have nisachim that became tamei. You know what you do? They have to be burnt like anything else that becomes possible in the Azara for the mizbeach. So what do we do over there? We don't take them out of the shalosh machanos to the Beis Hadeshan. It says bakodesh tisarev. So how do I burn them? Well, I make a little ma'aracha. I make like a pyre of wood, and I burn them on the floor of the Azor. So sim la maracha b'fnei atzman v'sorfam. Because it says, b'kodesh b'esh tisarev. Tanya nami achi, hadam v'ashemen v'amenachot v'anisachim, that they become possible because they became tamei. Also la maracha b'fnei atzman. Omar l'shmuel l'rbchana bagadata. Aiteli be'asara, I need for this to be defined as a permanent Gavi rule for all generations. The only way to make that happen is either with a magic wand, or you can bring 10 people together and say over the halacha b'kviyut in front of them, and then it becomes an eternal rule. So bring me 10 people together, because Gavi hasn't been born yet, unfortunately. And emoch kamayu nisachim shenitma'u, Osim lehem ma'aracha b'fnei atzman v'sorfam. Hadra lach kol ata dir michaver oi.
Man,
I like that.
A little funked in because it's too late.
Oh, man. Okay, it isn't really too late. It's only too late for you. But all of us people who are used to doing Yizovim and friends.
I'll throw it out there.
No, reluctant. Reluctant funtons are definitely not the. No, that's not the way to go.
There you go. Say three words.
Dam chata shenita zalabeget. 5 words. Okay, Rabosai, now we have to decide when are we meeting during Hanukkah. So now, Richie likes to get up even earlier during Hanukkah so that he can be here even earlier in the morning. So the question is, should we have an earlier daf yomi? Or some people like to daven at their regular time and add in a hallel. But, I mean, even on Rosh Chodesh, where we have both hallel and musaf, we only put things off by 10 minutes, maybe, right? Okay. So what saith you all to a 10-minute delay in our daf yomi tomorrow? Would that be okay with the people who worship on Sunday? The family who prays together stays together, remember, even on Hanukkah. So what time would be good? Good? Okay. So Bezrat Hashem...
9 o'clock. 9 o'clock.
Is that in the morning or in the evening? Richie prefers 9. Is there anyone who prefers a later than 7? There's working people, apparently. Richie, Alon is saying you should get back into the business. I mean, you're getting lazy. It's time to start touring.
Very lazy.
Okay. I don't know. He's got a lot of extra clients. He wants to push your way this month. If you come along, I mean, you know, you got a lot of work to do.
I've got a 7 o'clock tomorrow morning for you.
Excellent. And I'm assuming it's by boat. It's by yacht, Rich. It's a tour on the yacht. You're taking them all the way from Rosh HaNikra down, all the way down to Gaza. What do you say?
There's still a storm going on. It's going to be raining.
All right. Forget
whirlpool. Oh, no. Tomorrow's clear sailing.
My Rich.
Clear sailing. Who knows?
Okay, Rabos, I'll see you, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow morning. Hanukkah Sameach. See you at 7:40. On Richie's yacht. Go to
On Richie's yacht. Sail away.